Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's Brian Lehrer, and this is my Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Thursday, June 11th. New York City Council Speaker Cory Johnson is saying he wants to follow the lead of the Minneapolis City Council, which has a majority who have now pledged to disband their current police department as it now exists. Here in New York, Speaker Johnson says let's re-envision and reimagine what policing looks like in New York City. As it turns out, there may be a model already in place close to home. It's Camden in southern New Jersey. If you don't know Camden, it's right across the Delaware River from Philadelphia. The department there has recently been disbanded and recreated. We should say not everyone thinks it's a model of progressive reform, but now we'll take a closer look at what Camden did and how it might or might not be a model for New York and other places with Philadelphia Inquirer reporter Allison Steele, who has reported on it. Allison, thanks so much for coming on with us. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you so much for having me.
So in 2013, the Camden City Police Force was disbanded and replaced by a force that reports to the county. What led to that drastic move in 2013?
The major difference between the conversations that are happening in Minneapolis and elsewhere right now and what happened in Camden was that it wasn't really prompted by a public request or outcry for police reform. There was a major budget shortfall that year from the state, which led to the layoffs of about half of the police force in Camden, New Jersey. This was a very dark time for the city. Violent crime spiraled. They had their highest number of homicides ever that year in 2012, 67 homicides for a city of under 80,000 people. Following this, county leaders and some others pushed for the creation of this county force, which would allow them to essentially dissolve the Camden Police Department and rehire it from the ground up. However, they kept the same police chief. They kept some of the same police officers. They hired a large number of new officers and were able to significantly increase the number of police officers on the streets, but that's only because they had previously reduced the number of police officers on the streets.
So, so it was sparked by high crime and a budget crisis, not by a call for reforming police behavior. But
correct.
You write in your article that the new force was trained in de-escalation techniques and that violent crime in Camden has declined. So was de-escalation seen as one of the means to less violent crime?
It has certainly been seen as a big part of that. I think that many in the police department would say that their community policing model is what has made the biggest difference when it comes to making the city safer, in their words. They have spent a lot of time walking beats. They've knocked on doors in neighborhoods, done a lot of community events for years in which they've tried to build those relationships.
And you do note that excessive use of force complaints at first went up under the reinvented police force, but then they went down. Do you know if there was a false start of some kind in that respect?
Well, it's a complicated, the whole conversation is pretty complicated because certainly in the first couple of years after the department started, there were a lot of complaints made from many people around the city, as well as from groups like the local NAACP and the ACLU, who said that police officers were being very aggressive, also targeting people for some really minor sort of petty offenses. Summonses for things like people riding a bicycle without a bell went through the roof. What a lot of people would call, broken windows policing. And over the years, there are a lot of strong community activists in Camden, and a lot of those people really pressured the police department and have really tried to put a spotlight on some of these issues. And it does seem as though that has gotten better. The police department, they say that their excessive force complaints have dwindled to very few per year compared to the dozens they were getting in those initial years.
Now, you do report on some Camden residents who caution against using their city's unique story as a playbook. For one reason, because it was done with little public input, in a process that some see as union busting. But the union busting charge is very interesting because it cuts both ways, I think, when it comes to police unions. You know, is there currently, first of all, by way of background for our listeners, is there currently a police union in Camden at all?
There is. It's just a different, it's all a different structure from what it was before, though. They basically ripped up all the old rules and made new ones.
Is a weaker union, if it is a weaker union, one of the reasons for the de-escalation and better community relations? Because, you know, we've been talking a lot here and people have been talking a lot everywhere about the old school angry white police union leaders who are too powerful and seem to exist to protect every violent tactic that officers have in their toolkits.
Right. I mean, I'm not sure how much I can speak to that directly. You know, in my own reporting, I've talked to a lot of people in Camden who really certainly believe that the de-escalation tactics have made a big difference in the city. And they believe that a lot of the officers are really trying to make a positive difference. Obviously things aren't perfect. Things aren't perfect in any police department in this country. And I think initially some of the biggest problems, I mean, I think initially some of the biggest concerns that people in Camden really had were just the fact that this was a police department that was being created without any community buy-in at all. Even people who weren't particular fans of the police department weren't sure how they felt, you know, weren't necessarily happy about the idea of it being taken away overnight.
I want to play a clip of a caller who we had earlier in the week, actually. This is a caller named Daniel who identified himself as a public defender. And you'll hear what he cites as some of the entrenched problems in police departments in general and how he cites Camden as an example.
It's fundamentally a culture problem and a funding problem. You saw that in the union leader's comment yesterday, and you also saw that in the fact on your program, the mayor promised to have masks be worn by the officers, and he can't even get that to be done. I know that in Camden, they disbanded the police department and required officers to reapply, and I think that's the kind of structural change that's necessary.
So, Allison, to that public defender's point at the end of that call, where he said in Camden they disbanded the police department and required officers to reapply, and that's the kind of structural change he thinks is necessary. How did that go? Did every police officer basically lose their job and have to reapply and get reevaluated for their fitness?
That's correct. That's as I understand it to have happened. That said, the police chief remained the same. Police Chief Scott Thompson remained the chief of the department prior to the new department and after. And that was something that some residents questioned as well at the time, saying, you know, if you've got problems with the team, why would you change the team? You know, you should be looking at the coach. That said, Chief Thompson has really become a star in law enforcement nationally since this happened, largely because of the community policing model, the de-escalation tactics. But yes, some of the other officers who were with the department chose not to reapply. Some of them did. There were some officers who were promoted and got raises under the new model. There were others who said that they took pay cuts. It was not a seamless transition, to say the least.
And I want to get to the pay as an issue in a minute, but do you happen to know what percentage of those who did reapply got hired or rejected, or if they were evaluated for sort of their temperament and attitudes toward the community and towards their, you know, police work in general, the things that would reduce police violence?
That is something I don't know the answer to right now. I don't have that in front of me. That's something that I wasn't directly involved in reporting on, and I probably should have looked that up. But I know we have written about this. I know that a number of the police officers who ended up on the new force were on the old force as well.
Do they make the same amount of money? How much is that an issue?
It certainly has been an issue in the sense that this department has struggled with retention and turnover and having officers come in for a couple of years, get the training, and then leave for other towns. That's something that has been a problem for the department ever since 2013. It was also a problem, it should be said, for the department prior to that. The department was struggling with turnover even before this happened. But now, I gather that this is something that they've made some progress on, but I know that at least for the first several years, it has been a big problem in which a young officer will come into Camden, get training, and then he will leave for a job in another town.
Oh, that's interesting. And you report that there's been a retention problem. So many Camden police officers come in, you just said it, get trained, and then leave for another force. It's not like they don't like working under the current rules. They find them too restrictive. They don't like the de-escalation culture. It's not that, as far as you know.
Well,
it's the money.
It could be for some of them. It could be for some of them. I mean, some of these officers are, a lot of them are young. They're white. Some of them might not find that the department's a good fit for them in a number of ways. Some of them have gone to work in New towns on the New Jersey shore. I can't speak to every reason. There's certainly some thinking in law enforcement, statewide law enforcement officials, that pay is an issue. And I'm sure it probably is with some of these officers, but with others, I can't speak to any. There could be any number of reasons why people don't want to work in Camden.
Let's take a phone call. Ray in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ray.
Yes, Brian. Morning, Brian. How are you?
Okay. How are you?
Yes, my input in this whole thing, defunding of the cop, I don't think that defunding, or it should remain whatever funding they need. But my proposal is that the police force, there should be a national academy where all police officers are trained, all police officers, sheriff, everybody goes to that. It's just like the Navy goes to Chicago to train at Great Lakes, the Marine goes to Paris Island to train. These officers should be nationally trained at National Academy, and they are licensed. If you messed up, there should be a federal database to enter. That means you don't skip towns going from here to there with a dirty record. You're out. A nurse has to be licensed if she messes up. A doctor has to be de-licensed if he's messed up. So what is, we are all human beings and we are all on the same constitution here. So why the exception of a police officer all the time? And these unions are so powerful, they should be able to sue the unions, take their fundings from their pension when they messes up, because they're getting away with just too much, Brian, too much.
I hear you, Ray.
That is my 2 cents.
Thank you for your 2 cents. Call in with two more on another occasion, please. Veritas in Jamaica, Queens. You're on WNYC. Hello, Veritas.
Yes, good morning.
Thank
police
you,
officers, before they get the job, should be required to take a mandatory psychological test. They have very sophisticated tests that can detect sadism and other undesirable qualities. And if they did that, they could root out. This guy, Chauvin, had a smirk on his face when he was pressing this man's neck.
Veritas, thank you. And they do do psychological screening for police officers. Do you happen to know if part of the reforms in Camden had anything to do with improving them?
I don't know specifically. I would imagine that there is. I know that there's a lot of training done with police officers now in Camden with regard to, again, dealing with confrontations and things of that nature. Initially, I'm not sure how big a role any of that played. But again, the early days of that transition, I was not directly involved in covering any of that, so I really can't speak to it.
How's Camden been during these 2 weeks of protests in terms of amounts of activism? Like, if people are happier with the police force there than in a lot of other places, was turnout smaller in the streets of Camden, per population? And how is the police response compared to places like New York City, where excessive force complaints have been rampant?
Things in Camden have been very quiet and very calm these last few weeks. They have had protests. They've had a number of protests. Again, we have to remember, when we talk about volume of people and numbers, we have to remember that Camden's actually a very small city. But they have had a number of demonstrations there, people marching in the streets, organizing together. There's a long history of this in Camden. And most notably, a couple of weeks ago, the current police chief marched at the front of the line with many of the organizers, holding a sign, raising a fist. It's and we wrote about it at the time, and I think that's something that I'm sure some people would you know, can see a performative aspect to that. But I know a lot of people. I know that to a lot of people, it meant a lot to them.
That's fascinating. But to that point, and you mentioned the size of the city being relatively small, as far as Camden as a model for cities like New York or Philadelphia, the size of the force that you cite in your article for Camden is 380 police officers. In New York City, it's around 38,000. And so the question is, has anybody looked at whether what they've done in Camden can scale?
I think that's what people are looking at now.
Because that becomes the question, if it is really a success. Ariel in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ariel.
How you doing, Brian? I have something that always came to mind is, let's say they considered dismantling or reforming the NYPD Police Department, because the department is so big, just like you mentioned before, what departments or divisions would be dismantled? And the reason I ask this question is because I actually learned from a friend and family members who are police officers, told me there are about 100 jobs within the police department that are given to police officers, which would probably be considered civilian roles, but they're given to them because, I guess, because they're working inside. It would be people who like do some video production team unit that records accidents and it's other units who do community service, and it's other units who just drive mobile trucks and vans, and they're not on the street anymore. And I was just wondering, and if they did, what would happen to those units, because those officers are not on the street.
One more call. Justin in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC with Allison Steele from the Philadelphia Inquirer, who reported on the disbanding and recreation of the Camden Police Department. Hi, Justin.
Hi, Brian. I'm actually running for state assembly here in Brooklyn, but I have family in Camden and Camden County. And I think one of the things that is missing in this conversation is that the municipalities on the immediate outskirts of Camden, the townships, are mostly 90%+ white. While in Camden, you have a majority black city, and broader Camden County has a much higher preponderance of white folks than in Camden City. And so I think there's this challenge where the townships and municipality structure in southern Jersey, in many cases, were created to enforce residential and racial segregation. And so re-merging a majority black city's police force with that county creates challenges around racialized policing that I don't think is really getting into this debate as much as it needs to be.
Mm-hmm. And that was the structure. The city police department was disbanded and the county took over policing of Camden as it polices elsewhere in Camden County. But are you seeing it? Are you seeing it, Justin, either as you look at Camden, and Allison, I'll ask you the same question as a reporter, that there is a backlash? Like, Justin, your call makes me think of Newark, where there was considered to be widespread failure of the Newark public schools, and then it was taken over by the state. But that means it was taken out of local, largely black control in a largely black city and put under largely white control at the state level. And then eventually, recently, there was a backlash where people wanted to get control of their schools back because they felt like the state didn't really care about them that much. And things weren't even improving. So are you saying there's a parallel to that in Camden, or that only theoretically there could be?
No, I think there could be. And I think what happens a lot of times when you do these governance changes, it's really like moving deck chairs in the Titanic. You have a system that was set up as it to reinforce structural racism. I mean, racialized policing is policing. And so to the extent that you want to change it, I don't see how changing who oversees it, particularly if you're putting if you're taking it out of the black community and investing it in a whiter community, how that changes it. So I think we need to be careful about using examples that change governance temporarily. but that don't lead to better results for the people who are being oppressed by policing.
Though I guess, Justin, part of what we've heard is that there have been better results in terms of both lower crime and less complaints of police excessive use of force.
I mean, if you look at, go ahead.
Allison?
No, go ahead. No, go ahead. I thought you were talking to me. Go ahead.
Justin, last thought on this, then I'm going to move on.
I think there can be incremental changes to these things like use of force and crime, but the way those things are reported is also controlled by the same system, right? So I think we need to be careful about, you know, looking at, you know, small, you know, statistical deviations or small statistical mm-hmm. changes when we're really looking for a radical change right now.
Thank you very much. Important point.
I think that was a great call. I think that was a really, I mean, I think there are some great points raised there for sure. And it should be noted that Camden has been under state control in one way or another for many, many years. Their schools are now under state control. The city was under state takeover for quite some time. And all of that informs some of the friction that came about when the county took over the police force. It's all part of that. It's all part of that larger picture.
So are you hearing things like that in Camden? And this is the last question. Now that all of a sudden little Camden, New Jersey, is getting all this attention around the country for, aha, here's a city that actually did this. Are you finding as a reporter that a lot of people who actually live in Camden are standing up and saying, oh, come on, really? Are you kidding? Camden as a model, look what's really going on here.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of that, and I think a lot of it stems from what people see as just an oversimplification of the narrative as far as what's happened there. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have really come around to feeling more supportive of the department than they used to, for sure. Things are not the same as they were in 2013 as far as the how the community, I think, feels about the department from my reporting, from what I can tell. But every time Camden gets sort of encapsulated in this in a little soundbite where people talk about how it's this model of reform, and I think some people do chafe against that because they know how difficult it was and has been and continues to be. It just defies a simple narrative like that. That said, I really do believe that most residents believe that the police are trying. I believe that many think that things have improved there significantly. I think many residents really do believe and feel that the city is safer and there is greater trust for the department than there used to be.
Well, thanks for spending a half hour with us and getting into some of the complexities of this non-simple narrative. We really, really appreciate your reporting and you giving us the time.
Thank you so much.
Brian Lehrer, a daily politics podcast, is obviously also a daily coronavirus podcast under the circumstances in our country right now. We'll keep staying on top of things to serve you the best we can. And remember, this podcast is excerpted from my live weekday call-in show, The Brian Lehrer Show. If you want to be a caller or just hear it live, it's from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time on WNYC Radio in New York, or online at WNYC.org. You can also tweet a question at us anytime. Just tweet at Brian Lehrer. Thanks for listening today.